To Jonah has been a challenge. Hopefully it has as well for you guys. And we're seeing a book that is about God and about how God deals with people. And we're going to see the same thing this morning. So Jonah chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse number 3. God just repeats his command to Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. And in verse 3 it says, "So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. It took 3 days to travel across Nineveh. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey." He's a day in, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands." Verse 9, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he'd said he would do unto them, and he did it not." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. You've revealed many things about yourself in it. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the truth of your word, that you'd guide our hearts, quiet our hearts, and open our minds. In Christ's name, amen. In 1987, United States was in a war, and there was 39 American soldiers. They were killed in the Persian Gulf when an Iraqi pilot hit their ship with a missile. The newspaper covered a family that had lost their father. There was a 5-year-old boy whose hand was on a coffin as his father was being sent back to America for his funeral. His mother said this in response to what happened: "I don't have to mourn or wear black because I know my husband is in heaven. I am happy because I know he is better off." Obviously going through a difficult time, but she was having an eternal perspective. And later on, she and her son John, who was 5 years old, they sent a letter back and in an Arabic New Testament to the pilot who was flying that plane. And they wrote this: "To the man who attacked the Stark, Dad's ship, in the hope that it will show that even the son and the wife do not hold any grudge and are at the same time praying for the one who took the life of our father." And I don't know about you, but that would be a very difficult letter for me to write if one of my family members was killed in a war, to write to the person who killed my family member. And these Christians were showing compassion to someone who most people in this world would put in the category of their enemy. He literally had killed their husband and his father, and they were living out Jesus' command to love your enemies. Very difficult command. And to this point in the book of Jonah, we see God who is showing compassion on one of his own people. He is pursuing Jonah. He is chastening Jonah. He's showing love to Jonah. But now in chapter 3, we're going to start seeing God showing love and compassion to a group of people who are his enemies, to people who hate him, to people who are violent, who've rebelled against him. And guys, for us to be like God, we must be merciful and compassionate, even to people who are our enemies. God has called us to be like him. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and it was infamous for its wickedness, specifically for its violence. People were terrified of the Ninevites. They were very cruel, and historically, they were an enemy of Judah and Israel. So they constantly attacked Israel, the people of God, and God, again, was, in his compassion, reaching out to these people who'd attacked his people over and over again. Does anybody know who the founder of Nineveh was? Anybody remember hearing about this in Bible class in the past? His name was Nimrod. We've probably heard that word before. He's known as being a very violent leader. He's known for not being the smartest guy in the world. Anybody know who Nimrod was related to? Interesting fact. Okay, he was related to Adam in a way, but even the next step, he was related to Noah. He was the great-grandson of Noah. So Noah's great-grandson founded this city that later was known for being very wicked. They stood against everything that God stood for. They were idolaters. They were wicked. They were violent. They pridefully, when they defeated a city, they would carry home body parts of the town that they had just defeated. They'd put them on parade. They would take the heads and put them on posts in the middle of their banquet halls to celebrate the fact that they had just killed another city and another nation. These people were extremely, extremely violent. They actually used to skin alive the leaders of their enemies for sport and for fun as part of the entertainment for their victory banquets. These people were wicked, they were violent, and in his compassion, God shows mercy to his enemies. These are not the type of people that we in our minds typically view that God would be pursuing and trying to show mercy to. And I'm going to clarify something. These people viewed God as their enemies. This is not that God viewed them as his enemy, but they viewed him as their enemy. And guys, we got to be like God. We are called as Christians to be godlike, and it is easy to show love and mercy to people who love me, to people who respect me, to people who respond to me. It is easy to show love and compassion to people that are mine, right? How many of you have ever been on an airplane? You've flown on an airplane before? Now, how many of you, this is one of the worst experiences on the planet, you've got onto that airplane, and as soon as you step on, you just hear a baby crying like two rows behind you. That is miserable, isn't it? Like, you just know that that is going to be a terrible airplane flight, but it's miserable. We don't want it to happen to us. You just want to gag that kid, right? You're not very compassionate on him. You probably get angry in your heart. And as a dad, this is one of my worst fears about traveling on an airplane. If I was to get on an airplane and take my kids, I just know that one of my kids would probably be that kid, right? I would not be looking forward to that. And my thoughts towards my kid are very different than my thoughts would be towards some random kid who is crying two rows behind me. Right? I'd probably be a little bit angry. I wouldn't be compassionate on that child, but my own, I would be compassionate. My thoughts would be different. And guys, God shows compassion to his people. We've seen that in the life of Jonah and Israel. He was continually compassionate to him. But guys, God also shows love and compassion towards people who we normally would get frustrated at. And we ought to do the same thing. We ought to show love and compassion towards people who are enemies, who attack God. And it is difficult to show love to people who are enemies. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, this is on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is going to give some very clear commands. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is contrasting man's thoughts and man's responses to people with God's thoughts and God's responses to people. He takes what the common teaching of the day was, and he raises the standard. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus says this, "Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor." We get that. The people Jesus was speaking to get that. But they also taught, hate thine enemy. That was the common thought of the day. The Pharisees, the religious leaders would say, hey, you know what, love your neighbor. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, but hate your enemy. They were very prejudiced people in this time. But verse 44, Jesus says, that's not what I say. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And in this passage of Scripture in Jonah, we see God doing that to his enemies, to people who are continually attacking God and his people. He was loving them. He was blessing them. He was pursuing them. Then in verse 45, why should we love our enemies? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. This is how God loves. He doesn't just love people who is easy to love. He loves people who are his enemies. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God gives good gifts to the evil and to the wicked. Verse 46, this is how man thinks about love. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? That is the human perspective on love. And guys, that's often our perspective on love, isn't it? Hey, you know what? I'm going to show love to my friends. I'm going to show love to people who show love to me. I'm going to show love and mercy and compassion to people who are my people. Those are my people. Those are my peeps, right? Those are my friends. That's my group of people. And those are the people that we show love to. And God says, you know what? You've got to show love to people who are your enemies. To people who talk badly about you behind your back. To people who mock you. To people who complain about you. Don't just limit your love to this human version of love that we have. Because verse 47 says, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? The publicans were the people that these religious leaders had the lowest opinion of. They were the worst of the worst. And even the worst of the worst, they show love to people who it's easy to show love to. But again, why should we do this? Verse 48, be therefore perfect or complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is God's view of love. Perfect, complete love is that you show love to people who are your enemies. Guys, if I was to ask many of you to raise your hand in this room, how many of you think you have enemies? A lot of you would probably raise your hand. These are people that you just don't get along with, people who are mean to you, who are cruel to you, who attack you, who mock you. And guys, God is treating the Ninevites just like this in Jonah chapter 3. He is blessing people and giving grace and mercy to people and pursuing people that have hated him, that have rejected him. And God doesn't just show love to those people who it's easy to show love to. He loves everyone. So guys, that's what we're to do as well. What are some practical, everyday ways that we should live out Matthew chapter 5? Give me some feedback on that. How are we supposed to practically live out Matthew chapter 5? Let's apply this together a little bit. Put it in an everyday situation. Ava. Be kind to your enemies. Okay? That's a general principle. How do you specifically live that out? Who do you guys classify in your life? Who would you, and don't say names, but like the type of people that you'd say, you know what, those are my enemies. Ava.
Maybe like say something nice.
Okay, say something nice about them, but who in your life would you say are your enemies? The type of people, not a name, okay? People who do what to you? Jessica.
People that gossip about me.
People that gossip about you. Guys, it's really easy to hate people that gossip about you. It is really difficult to bless people that curse you, to do good unto those people who have persecuted you. Guys, you are commanded to show love to the person who gossips about you. What else? What's another real life situation? Yes, McKaylee. People think they're better than you, right? I mean, that's really annoying when someone looks down their nose at you. You know what God's command is? Love them. People who are prideful and put you down, love them, bless them, and pray for them. This is a command for us today as well. Yeah.
People that disagree with you, sometimes you turn that into arguments.
Yeah, people who disagree with you, you turn it into arguments. People who mock you. I mean, it is so easy to return hate when someone gives hate to you. God says, you know what? If you only say nice things to people who say nice things to you, that's not real love. And God is showing mercy. Last one, Noel.
Reach out to those who may have grudges against you.
Man, yeah, that's difficult, right? You've done something to someone, and they have a grudge against you, and they're gossiping about you behind their back, they're mean to you, they are your enemy. Do good to them. And guys, show love to people who are your enemies. That's what God does. And what are some specific things in your life, and in general, you don't have to be specific about you personally, but in our lives that need to change to better live out Matthew chapter 5? What's a specific action step? Because we all just heard, man, we've got people who we normally would think would be our enemies. What should we take as our next application, practical, specific step to overcome that? Noelle.
We need to change your perception as people in general to realize that not only are, you know, other people wrong and sinful, but I am myself. And so because of that, I need to have compassion on them. So I would want people to have compassion on me.
Yeah. Love others as you love yourself. And we want people to treat us that way, but oftentimes we don't treat other people that way. We are very double-minded, and we are very hypocritical. Yeah, Elizabeth.
Pray for them.
It is very difficult for you to be angry at someone that you were praying for. And when they sin against you again, you can go right to prayer. Those are some very specific action steps we can take. We got to move on for sake of time this morning. But again, in his compassion, God shows mercy to his enemies. So how did God do this? We may not finish this week. He showed mercy to his enemies in two specific ways that I see in this passage of scripture this morning. First of all, God shows mercy by warning about the consequences of sin. And oftentimes we think, hey, you know what, for me to be loving and for me to be merciful, I can't confront someone about their sin or tell them that what they're doing is wrong. That's not loving. You know, that's not God's idea of love. Sometimes God shows mercy and compassion and love by pointing out consequences of sin. And if you reread verse number 4 of Jonah, here's the message that Jonah preaches that's recorded for us. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The original language, it's 5 words. He goes into Nineveh and he preaches a 5-word message that basically is like, hey, you know what, 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And we wish we knew more about the message that Jonah preached. Maybe this was it. I'm always left with the question, is this really all that Jonah preached and the whole city repented? Because oftentimes we think, you know what, if I told that message to someone and that's all I said, I would turn them off completely. Jonah went in and he preached a message of judgment. It was only 5 words and the whole nation repented. If you went into the service this morning, pastor got into the pulpit and he preached a 5-word sermon. Many of you would be like rejoicing. Yes, extra long nap, right? You'd be pumped, you'd be excited. Dinner's coming up. My stomach is rumbling. You'd be pumped about it. We don't know what Jonah preached. Maybe he preached more. This is what's recorded for us, but we do know that Jonah obeyed and he preached the message that God told him to preach. Maybe this was it. But we do know something else, that Nineveh got the message. Nineveh knew what Jonah was talking about. They understood that it was God speaking and not Jonah. Look at verse number 5. Jonah says this message, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They didn't think, hey, this is some nut who came into our city who's saying he's going to overthrow everything. They understood that Jonah was a spokesperson of God. Probably they had some background, and they understood that Jonah was saying, you know what? You're all dead. You're dead meat. And have you ever been doing something and your parents give you the look? You know what I'm talking about? Your parents all probably have that look that, like, when they give it to you, you know you're about to be in trouble. Again, I want you to wake up a little bit, so I want everybody this morning to look at me and give me, like, the best impression of your parents' look. You know, like that look they give you that you're about to be in trouble. Go ahead, give it to me. Eyebrows are going up. Some of you are like smiling. That's not the look that your parents give you at all. Somebody give me one. Give me that look right in my face. I'll see what, I think the best one, Carissa, that is not threatening at all. Okay, so that backfired. You guys didn't do it. But my look is like my eyebrows go up and like my finger comes out. Like, hey. This is like 90% of parenting right here. You take the finger, you put it up, so that's advice for your future. But you guys know, like, in the middle of church, and your dad does that, like, slow motion, like, lean forward thing. He looks over at you, and he gives you that look, and you just feel like you're about to die. And he says something like, 3 seconds, and you're going to be in trouble. You guys know what he's saying, right? What's he saying in that message? When he says, 3 seconds, and you're dead. What is he saying? What is the subliminal message there? Stop. Do you think Nineveh got that message? Basically, Jonah's saying 40 days and you're going to be overthrown. There's a warning that's going on in that message. How do I know that? Because that's how the people responded. They thought, hey, I've got 40 days and basically I've got 40 days to get my act together or I'm going to be in big trouble. And they understood who Jonah was. He was a spokesperson for God. And guys, so often, we don't understand and the world doesn't understand the message that God is giving. God is showing mercy in that message to Nineveh. He says, 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. It was an implied command. In chapter 1, God tells Jonah, go tell Nineveh that their wickedness has come up before me. And paraphrase, this message is, Nineveh, you've got 40 days to get your act together or you're going to be destroyed. So guys, how can we know that God is warning about the consequences of sin here? Because of how they responded, how God responded, God gave grace. He probably wouldn't have said 40 days unless he was planning on, if you repent, I'm going to forgive. They responded to it as a warning. And basically the king decreed, you've got to cry out mightily to God, and maybe God will turn away his anger from us. God's given us 40 days, and in verse 9, he understands, hey, you know what? Maybe God is going to repent and change his mind about the judgment that he's just decreed for us. So as they are responding, the Bible gives us two characteristics. I'm going to be the first one this morning. We're going to have to stop here. About repentant people. How did the Ninevites respond? Even though they were wicked and they were enemies of God, truly repentant people respond to God's mercy by believing his warnings. Verse 5, it says, and they believed God. And so often, people don't believe one of two things about God. They don't believe he's good. They might believe that he is powerful, but he's not good. Hey, he has the power to judge me and to destroy me, but he's not good. He's just going to destroy me. Or they have the other view, hey, God is good, but he is not powerful. That he wants to forgive me, but he's just not able to. He wants to bring good things to my life, but he doesn't have the power. And the Ninevites understood both. They understood that, hey, you know what? God is powerful enough to destroy us. This is not some empty threat of some idol that they've worshipped who can't do anything. They understood that God had the power to overthrow them, and giving a warning without power to back it up is very unmotivating. They had to believe that God was actually powerful enough to overthrow them. They knew something about God. They feared him. And maybe Jonah spoke more than that five-word message, but also maybe they saw what had happened to Jonah. Maybe some things had been spread around, some rumors about Jonah being swallowed by a fish, and they are fearful of this God who's in control of everything, and they believed God's warnings. And guys, we've all seen kids misbehaving in the store. Maybe they're kicking, they're screaming, they're knocking things off the shelves, and we're like, you know what, that kid needs to be taught a lesson. So what does the parent do? They're like, hey, here's my phone. They give them their phone. If you be quiet, you can have my phone. They still keep throwing a fit. They still keep acting out, and the parent says something like, hey, if you don't stop throwing a fit, I'm going to take that phone from you. The kid looks at him and like kicks, screams, starts throwing all the stuff on the floor again, and the parent does absolutely nothing. Why does that child respond that way? Because they know that that parent has just given an empty threat. And guys, God is a powerful God who is able to overthrow the Ninevites, and he is able to chasten us. And oftentimes, there are people in this world who don't have an accurate picture of God, and they don't think that he's going to judge sin. We have got to understand that sin is a big deal. God's power got the attention of the Ninevites, and somehow they knew and believed that God was powerful enough to punish them. But they also knew that God was merciful enough to potentially show them mercy. Maybe God will repent. We've seen him do that to the Israelites over and over again. So guys, question for you this morning as we are closing. Are you in sin? Are you, at this point in your life, maybe an enemy of God? You've purposely rebelled against him. Maybe you're trying to bide your time that, hey, you know what, I'll put on a good show for a while. God does take sin seriously. And one way that God showed his mercy is that he warned the Ninevites about the consequences of their sin. And guys, God constantly gives us warnings about our sin that it will destroy us. Do you take your sin seriously? Because God is powerful to judge sin. He says he will. The wages of your sin is death. But also, God is merciful enough to forgive you of that sin. We're going to spend more time exploring that thought next week. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your forgiveness. I pray that you'd help us to understand the principles about yourself that you've given us in Jonah. And Lord, help us to heed your warnings. You warn us because you love us and you want to draw us back to yourself. Help us to be merciful to others, to show love to people who are our enemies. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks.